We begin the current daf in Sefer Yevamim, daf Mem Zayin. We begin on the bottom of daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, talking about the halachas of Geiris, conversion to the Jewish faith. So the Gemara brings the following brisa. Torah Rabbah, we learn the brisa. Misha ba v'amar ger ani. Someone comes to the Jewish people, who enters a new town, and he says, look, I'm a convert. So on that, the brisa says, yochal nikablenu, you would think that you would receive him, and that is, you wouldn't have to go ahead, and although we see he's circumcised, but maybe it wasn't a valid circumcision, it wasn't done for the mitzvah of milah, and that you wouldn't have to do what's called hatafas dam bris, to thus remove some blood in the process, thus making an efficacious milah, and to do tevilah, to immerse him in the mikvah, because, yeah, you said you converted, no problem, we consider you as a convert, and we don't have to do the two processes necessary to make a ger. And that the Braille says, Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches in Vayikra, Perek Yotes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, that says, if Chayogur Itcha Ger Ba'atzchem, that says, if it will dwell with you, a convert, in your lands. So the Braille says, the word Itcha, with you, what does that mean, with you? It means, B'muchzik Lecha, means to say, someone that's already established with you, that he has converted, in contrast to someone that just walks up and says, hey, I'm a ger, we're not going to accept such a person. He would have to undergo the conversion process in front of us. Now the Braisa says, Bo ve'edav imo minayin. How do you know that if he comes with two witnesses testifying that he's a ger, that he would be believed and that we would consider him as a full-fledged ger? Tamalema, as the Pasuk teaches, v'chiyogur itcha ger, that it's saying under all circumstances, if a ger dwells with you, in other words, that even if he didn't do the conversion process with you and that it's not established from beforehand. Now the Gemara later on is going to ask, what do you mean if you have two witnesses testifying that he's a ger? So obviously, why do you need a pasuk? We always know two witnesses are believed. So every person, anything in halacha is believed based on the testimony of two witnesses. And therefore, why wouldn't we need a pasuk, a riba of chiyagur, that if he dwells, meaning in all circumstances, even if he's not doing it in front of us and established, but if he comes with two witnesses, then that will also be valid enough for him to be considered a ger. Now the pasuk said that if a ger dwells with you ba'artzchem in your land, so we continue on top of memzayin medav. So the brisa continues inli el ba'artz. So I would only know based on that pasuk that we only accept gerim in Eretz Yisrael. B'chutz la'etz minayin. How do you know we receive converts even in the diaspora? Tamalaymer itcha. It says with you, which means b'chal mokam sheitcha, wherever you are. Which Gemara later is going to ask on that part of the brisa too. We already used itcha to teach a different halacha to say that it's only b'muchzik lacha. The ger can't come ahead and walk in and say, I'm a ger. It has to be that he's muchsek already. That's what we learned from itcha, sakha we learned from itcha, to say that it's wherever you are, even in chutz la'aretz. Now, on that, the brisa continues, same kain, matam alayim ba'aretz. So then, what is the word in the pasuk, ba'aretzchem, coming to teach us if itcha is already including even in chutz la'aretz, or wherever the Jewish people are? So, on that, the first opinion, the brisa says, to differentiate between Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz. Ba'aretz, tzorach lehevi rai. In Eretz Yisrael, the ger has to bring proof that he was megayer in a bezdin. And the reason is because maybe he's what's a givoni from that race that they would circumcise themselves anyways, nothing to do with the Jewish faith. Now the reason is, as Rashi explains, because Eretz Yisrael has a lot of bounty. And maybe he's just going to lie so that he can get into the Jewish faith, that he can partake from this bounty. So in Eretz Yisrael, he has to bring proof. But chutz la'aretz in tzorach lehevi rai, but in chutz la'aretz where there's nothing, no great thing to become part of the Jewish people, there's not going to be any ulterior motives, and there it doesn't have to bring any proof. That's the opinion of Yehuda. Where in Eretz Yisrael, yes, he has to bring proof. That's why it says ba'artzchem, to qualify that halacha. But in chutz la'aretz, which we're including from itcha, that you don't need to have any proof. But chachamim, they argue. They say bein ba'aretz, bein chutz la'aretz, tzorach lehevi rai. Whether the person that wants to be considered a convert is trying to convert in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz, either way, he has to bring proof that he is converted. If not, we would have to do the process in front of us. That's the brisa. Now, that the Gemara asked, those questions that we alluded to, in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, he said that Bahu ve'edav ima, he says that if the ger, he claims he's a ger, and he has witnesses with him saying that he's a ger, so that's included from the pasuk b'chiyogur itcha ger. So the Gemara asks, "Krol amali, what do I need a pasuk for?" As we said before, it's two witnesses. Of course, he's believed. So that Rav Sheshe says the Amri, what the Edim said, what the witnesses testified was, "Shamanu shenizgar bebezin shel plainim." It's not that they were there; they saw the conversion process. Of course, they would be believed. It's Toma that they say we heard that this person converted in that court. Now, you would think to say that we don't believe them, that because you're saying that that's what you heard, But that doesn't mean that you testify. You always have to be able to see what you're testifying about. Kamash Mullah, and that's what the Pasuk is teaching from Chayoga Itchaker, under all circumstances, meaning even if the two witnesses only heard about what had supposedly happened with his conversion in that bezin, that's enough. That's all learning from the Pasuk. Now, the Braisa said, Ba'aretz, meaning from the word Ba'aretzchem in the Pasuk, so Einli Ela Ba'aretz. I would have only known that conversion can take place in Eretz Yisrael. B'chutz Lo'etz Minayin. So the Braisa said, Tam Lamin Itcha. That B'chol Mokom She'itcha. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, wherever the Jewish people are, even in B'chutz Lo'etz. So there, you could also go ahead and do Geiris. Now, as we had alluded to the question, the Gemara asked, but Va'afikse. We already used this in the first part of the Braisa to say that the Geir is not Neman, he's not believed on his own, and he has to bring proof. It's only b'muchzik Yitzcha. So how can you say Yitzcha comes to teach you that even the chutz la'aretz is mekabel gerim? So the Gemara says, you're right, there's really two different psukim. Chada mi Yitzcha. The first halacha, the Braisa says, regarding he has to bring proof, it's only b'muchzik Yitzcha. That's learned from the word Yitzcha, that the v'chiyogur Yitzcha ger. But v'chada, the other halacha that is coming to teach that we accept gerim, not only b'aretzachem, but even the chutz la'aretz, that's actually learned from a different pasuk, which is actually different girsais in the Gemara, which pasuk it is, either like our girsa that says mi'imach, which supposedly Rashi says it's ger b'toisha v'chai imach, or a different pasuk, which the Vilna Gaon says is from the pasuk actually after the pasuk that we're quoting from, where it says itchem. And either way, there's another pasuk that's teaching us that other halacha, that wherever the Jewish people are, imcha with you, or itchem with you, that even, not only ba'aretzchem, but even chutzlaretz. However, but so why did it say Ba'aretzachem? So Rabbi Yehuda said, is to differentiate between the Eretz Yisrael. You have to bring proof. Chutz La'aretz, there's no reason why he would want to become Jewish, and therefore he doesn't have to bring proof that he's a ger. But for Chacham Ayman, the Braisa said, they argue, and they said, no, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein Chutz La'aretz, Tzorach Le'Evirai. No, you have to bring proof that you had a valid conversion process, and if not, you would have to go ahead with the Tafas Dan Bris and the Tefillah. Now, that the Gemara asked, if so, according to them, Be'elohok Siv Ba'aretz, as Rabbi Yehuda's question was, that if it would be the same as we're including, even according to Yehuda, even Chutz La'aretz from a different pasuk, then the question was, then why did it say Ba'aretzachem? So Yehuda says, oh, for that halacha to differentiate, to say that only they need Ra'i ibn Chutz La'aretz. But the Chum say that you need a Ra'i ibn Chutz La'aretz. So why does it specify Ba'aretzachem? Now the Gemara says, Ahumi Ba'ile, that's actually to teach the opposite way, meaning, Da'afila Ba'aretz Mekabel Gerim, that to teach you that not only did you accept even the chutz la'aretz, as we're learning from the word of imach or itchem, that there, even there you receive converts, but even in Eretz Yisrael you could receive, and that's why I had to specify ba'aretzachem, because we would have thought actually it's only a chutz la'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Sagadai Adachamini, we would have thought to say, Mishum Tivusa de Eretz Yisrael Kamagari, as we mentioned before, because there's much bounty, much blessing in Eretz Yisrael, that's why he's converting, but really, he's not really intending to be a true convert. And therefore, that chiddush is that no, we could convert someone even if he's coming there to Israel. Moreover, the Gemara says, even v'hashta nami, delekati vus, even though in today's times where we don't have the bounty that there was in Shlomo Melech's times and other times, but still, there's other benefits that one would get even today going to Israel, because ikaleket, sheikho, peyo, maisrani, there's these different gifts that are given to the poor with when there's gleanings and things fall down, and shikha, which the sheaves that are forgotten, pay is the corner of the field that has to be left for the poor. Maisrani is a tenth of one's grain has of one's payers has to go to the poor. And therefore we think that maybe there's an ulterior motive and really doesn't intend to become a convert, and therefore we shouldn't receive him in Eretz Yisrael. Kamash Balan, that's the chiddush of why it says Ba'aretzachem, to actually teach that not only can we accept a ger to allow him to convert to the Jewish nation, even in Chutz La'aretz, but even there it's so, where there could be ulterior motive, we do receive him anyway. Now that the Gemara paskens, Amar Pchia Bar Abba Amar B'Yechanan, halacha, the halacha is, like the Chachamim, Be'im Ba'aretz, Be'im Chutz La'aretz, whether in the land of Israel or out of Israel, Tzorach Le'Evirai, you have to bring proof that you're a true convert, that you actually went through the conversion process. Now that the Gemara is Peshitta, it's pretty obvious. We know there's a halachic dictum, Yachad v'rabim halachic rabim. The halacha always follows like the rabim. So what's the chiddush in saying the halacha is like the chacham? So that the Gemara says that because ma'ad tamer would have thought to say mistaber time of Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is more logical, and to say that actually only in Eretz Yisrael you have to bring a raya, not a chutz la'aretz, because the k'mesai le'kroy, the psukim seem to support him, as Rashi explains, because since from the word imach is where we learn out that no matter where the Jewish people are, kol she'imcha, kol she'itcha, meaning wherever you are, so that would include not only Chutz La'aretz, as the Brice is quoting in Yehuda, but even in Eretz Yisrael. then the question would be, so then what do you need ba'artzachem? It can't be like the Chacham are saying to, oh, to even the Klur Yisrael, because from Imach is already saying wherever you are, even Eretz Yisrael. Must be it's going on this, if you have to bring proof that you went through a valid conversion, where in Eretz Yisrael you have to bring a Raya and not a Chutz La'aretz, and therefore it seems to indicate from the extra word ba'artzachem, not like the interpretation of the Chacham, rather like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore maybe we'd say the Halacha falls like him, because the Pesukim, the text, seems to support him. Kamash Mulan, that's what Rabbi Yochanan had to say, that no, the halacha follows the opinion that says, Be'im Ma'aretz, Be'im Chutz La'aretz, Tzarech Lehebi Ra, you have to bring a proof that you had a valid conversion. Nothing more continues on this theme about the nemanis, the trustworthiness of someone that says if he's a ger or if he's not a ger. So, Tamar Ulutna Braisa, there's a pasuk in the Devarim that says, Ushefatetem Tzedek, you should judge righteously, Be'in Ish, or Be'in Achim, between the man and his brother, or Be'in Geroi, and between the convert. Now, so that's just talking about judging righteously with old people of the Jewish people, which even includes converts. But however, Mekana Rehuda, Rehuda Darshans from this pasuk, the Gershon is Gar Bebezdin, it's only a Ger that converts in a Bezdin, because it's using the term Ushvatetem, which is Mishpat, which is a Bezdin, which always has three people, then it's Uvein Geroi. Then Hariz a Ger, then it's considered a convert. But if he converts amongst himself, meaning he does his own circumcision and he immerses himself in the mikvah, says, oh, I'm Jewish. No, it has to be in front of a bezdin of three people. And actually, there was actually an incident with someone that came in front of Behuda. Vamalani told him, I researched, I checked out the Jewish nation, I liked them, I went, I circumcised myself, and I immersed myself in a body of water of 40 sa. So Amalani Behuda said to him, Yesh lecha edim, do you have witnesses that testify that you had a valid conversion? Amalei Lav, so he says, no, I don't have. So he asked him, Yesh lecha banim, do you have children? Amalei Hen, he says, yes. So Amalei said to him, Neman ata liftzalas atzmacha, you are believed to invalidate yourself, meaning to say that you're not Jewish because you didn't do the valid way of conversion, because you didn't do it with a bezdin, with having witnesses testifying. However, viata neman liftzalas banacha, but you're not believed to invalidate your children, because although you could incriminate yourself, you, a one person, cannot incriminate your children. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, and is it really true that Yehuda said that one is not believed about to qualify the status of his child? Where in this case he said, look, your children already established as Jewish people. You're saying when you converted, you didn't do it the right way. So fine, you're not Jewish, but they will be considered Jewish. But on that, the Gemara asks, is it true that he's not believed regarding his children? But by the time we learn the Braisa, that seems to indicate that he is believed. Because there's a pasuk in the Devarim that says Yaker, where the beginning of the pasuk says, Esabachur ben Asnua Yaker, which means say, regarding when there's two wives and one of them is the one that's Asnua, that's hated because it's an illegitimate relationship on some level, and one is the Ben Ahuva. But it says that if the firstborn will be from the Ben Hasnua, then it says that if he recognizes him, which is the word Yaker, Losilai Pishnaim, to give him a double portion, B'chalei Sheimatzle, whatever he has, because although it's from the hated relationship, he's the firstborn child, he gets the status of the Bechar. Now, why does he use the terminology of Yaker? Because the firstborn of the Ben Asnua, that Yaker, he will recognize, what does that mean? So that, the Braisa expounds this to say, Yakirenu La'acherim. He will make him recognizable for other people, meaning if Bezin is not recognizable in this, who's the firstborn of his children, the father is believed to say that this is my firstborn son. That's what the word Yaakov comes to teach. So Mikan Rabbi Yehuda, from here Rabbi Yehuda comes to teach us that he says from that drasha, we learn that Neman Odom Loimer Zeh B'ni Bukhar. A person is believed to say that this is my firstborn son, meaning that he takes a double portion in the inheritance. And more Rabbi Yehuda says, Ukeshem Shem Neman Loimer Zeh B'ni Bukhar, just like he's believed to say that this is my firstborn son, you could extend this halacha. So too he's believed to say, this son of mine is the son of a relationship that I had, even though I'm a Kohen, and a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. He is from a union of a woman that I not rightfully married, a divorcee or a chalutza, which thus makes him, my son, a Kohen chal, which is a deficient Kohen that doesn't have the halachic status in many areas for a kohuna. Now, Chamayim Enenim. Chamayim say, no, he's not believed. But the Gemara's question is, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you are believed regarding the status of your son, even to invalidate him to consider him a Kohen Chal, so how could he say that in that incident where you're not considered a valid ger if it's done by yourself, that he said that you can invalidate yourself but not your child. Why not? We see he says clearly in this brisa that you could invalidate the status of your child. So the Gemara gives two approaches. Amar Nachum Yitzchak, he says, you're right. Generally, a Jewish person is believed to create the status of his child, whether for good or for bad. But Hachar Kamalei, this is what Rebbe Yehuda was telling this, so to speak, ger. He said, L'dvarecha, according to your testimony, that you said that you converted amongst yourself, just you between yourself, not with any bezdin, so ebekachavamata. That makes you, by default, into a non-Jew. Vein edus l'evet kachavim. And there's no testimony in our courts for a non-Jew. And therefore, that's why, since your children have already been established, there's what's called a chazaka. Everyone took for granted that this family was a Jewish family. Now, you come along one day, 20 years later, and you say, oh, you know, I should just tell you that the process that I went through, I did it myself. You're not believed to say testimony and to invalidate them, because now, based on your testimony, you're right, you could incriminate yourself, but you're not a Jew anymore. And therefore, their chazaka will remain, because your testimony to remove that chazaka is not believed. And therefore, you're right, although generally Rabbi Yehuda believes a father for his son, but that's a Jewish father for a Jewish son. Here, the father is not Jewish, he's not believed. Rabbi Nama, he gives a different approach. He says, you're right, that even in that incident with Rabbi Yehuda, as we find from the pasuk of Yaakov, a father is a father. A father believed regarding the status of his child. However, Hachar Kamalei, this is what Rabbi Yehuda was telling him. He says, there's an amendment to this story. He said, Yesh lecha banim, do you have children? He says, hen yes. But he asked another question. He says, Yesh lecha b'nei banim, do you have grandchildren? He says, hen yes. So Malay, on that is what he said, neman ata livsel b'necha. You're right, you are believed to invalidate your child, because that's as the Gemara had brought from the Braisa that I was asking, that is believed based on the pasuk of Yaakov. But v'i'ata neman livsel b'nei v'necha, but you're not believed to invalidate your grandchildren, where Tosis brings that hence because that there's grandchildren, where he's not believed on them, so he's not even believed regarding his child. And as Tosis Chad Mikamoy brings, that because the Torah only believed him, as we see from Yaakov, regarding his Ben Hasnua, but it did not believe him regarding his grandchild, and if he's not believed regarding his grandchild, and they're going to be kosher, then that will make automatically that, obviously if he's a kosher child, that his father was also kosher, and therefore he won't be believed even regarding his son. And therefore, it doesn't contradict the halacha that we bring from Yaakov. You're right, he's believed regarding his son, but only if there's no grandson. Once there's a grandson who he's not believed regarding, who will be have the chazakah of kosher, then even the father will be, and he won't be believed in his son in that type of situation too. As the Gemara brings Tanim Halachas only in the Braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda Aim, Rabbi Yehuda says the following statement, which the Gemara is going to qualify it, and it's going to be like we just answered. It says, Neman Adam Leim al Benay Katan. A person is believed regarding the status of his minor son, but Ve'ein Neman al Benay Gadol is not believed regarding his adult son. Now, but Ve'amar Pchir Barabba Amar B'yechanan, he says, Loi Katan Katan Mamash, when it says a minor, it doesn't literally mean a minor. And Ve'loi Gadol Gadol Mamash, when it says that he's not believed regarding his adult child, it doesn't literally mean an adult. Ela katan v'yeshle banim, if he's a young boy but he has children, zeh gadol, that's already considered an adult, meaning that he's not believed regarding that child. And gadol v'ein le banim zeh katan, an older son that doesn't have any children is considered the young son. In other words, like we just explained before, when there's a grandchild, then that child is considered a gadol, meaning that you're not believed regarding him, because as we said, once there's a grandchild who the grandfather is not believed to, so then since that grandchild is going to have a chazaka of kasher, so therefore the father, meaning his son, will also have, and therefore won't believe regarding any of them, and that's actually the incident that happened with Rabbi Yehuda, that it was a grandchild, and that's why he wasn't believed. But however, if there is no grandchild, then we consider even if it's a 30-year-old son as a katan, meaning that he is believed regarding such a child. Now the Gemara concludes, the halachah of Seder of Nachman Yitzchak. The halacha follows the first interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, like Rav Nachman, that he said that Rabbi Yehuda told him, based on your testimony, you're a non-Jew, and a non-Jew is not believed with testimony, and that is, even regarding his child, he's not going to be believed, because he's not considered a Jew. So it doesn't have to be that there was even a grandchild, even if there was only a child. Now that the Gemara asks, but Tanya Kavaseid Ravina, we just quoted a brisa that supports Ravina's interpretation that said that he's believed only regarding his son that's a katan, meaning that there's no children. Now as Rashi explains, the Gemara assumes now in the question that brisa that the Gemara had quoted was actually talking about the same case that we were discussing. It was talking about a ger that came and said that I'm a ger, and that is what it said, that if he's just coming by himself, So he's not going to be, whatever it is that he's qualifying himself. So saying that he's believed regarding himself and regarding his child. So whatever that halacha will be the same thing for his child. So that seems to support Ravina's interpretation, that if there's only, as we qualified that statement, that if there's only a child, then he's believed. The grandchild is not. But it seems that even if he's a non-Jew, based on his own testimony, that then he would be believed regarding his son. Not like Rav Nachman, who said, once you're a non-Jew, we don't believe you. So that the Gemara actually answers that, hahu. Actually, that brisa that said that, nemenu abnei katan, that he's believed regarding his child, was not talking about the same case of that brisa that we quoted before, where a person's coming and saying that I'm a ger, and then if he's a kosher ger, then the son will be a kosher ger. If he's not, then the son will not be. It's actually not, because once we find out that he's not kosher, he can invalidate himself, but he cannot invalidate his child, because a non-Jew is not believed to say testimony. That brisa is le'inyin yakir itmar. It was actually going back on the brisa of yakir. In other words, we said over there that just like a person is believed to say, this is my son, the firstborn, so that brisa from Yehuda said, so too is believed to say, this is my son, a ben gerusha. Now that is what that other brisa is qualifying and saying that he's neman, when we said that yakir says that he's believed to testify regarding his son, it's only on the son that's a katan, meaning, as we said, someone that does not have a child himself. Because in that case, he's a regular Jew and he has testimony, and the Torah believed him, as we see from Yakir, regarding his son. But not even a regular Jew regarding his grandson. But regarding a ger, even regarding his son, he's not believed because, again, as Rav Nachman had said, based on his testimony that he did the conversion process himself, not in front of a Beis Din, so then there's no, he's considered an Oyvei Kachavim, a non-Jew. And as we said, there's no Eidus for Oyvei Kachavim. And therefore, that brisa actually does not support the other interpretation of Ravina, because it's not talking about the case we're talking about of a ger to show that he's believed regarding his son. It's talking about a regular Jew of the halacha of Yakir. And it's just qualifying that Yakir only works up until your son, not if there's a grandson, which is that's what we call cotton. Now the Gemara elaborates on the process of conversion. Someone that wants to convert to the Jewish faith in today's times. So we tell him, what did you see fit to convert to the Jewish people? Don't you know? The Jewish people in today's times are afflicted, dechufim are pushed around, sechufim, they're humbled ones, they're bent to the people of the world, umiturafin, and they're thrown about, and there's afflictions that come upon them. Why would you want to become a Jew? Now, if he responds and he says, I know, I'm not even worthy to become part and join into their pain. And who would give that I would merit to join in the pain of the Jewish people? Then they receive him right away and as a ger. And then they make known to him some of the easy mitzvahs, some of the hard mitzvahs. And moreover, we make it known to him the avin, the sin of leket, shikcho, peyo, meiser, ani, the sin regarding if one does not leave the gleanings and the leftover sheaves and the corn of the fields and the tenth of his produce for the poor people. And later on, the Gemara and Noam Beis will explain why we tell him all these things and do these things in the process of the conversion. And umidin oisei unshin shel mitzvahs, and we make it known to him the punishment that comes if one violates the mitzvahs. Oimle, we tell him as follows. Have you a day you should know? Sha'ad shaloi bas lemidazu, until you didn't come to this measurement, meaning to try to join the Jewish people, achal techelev, if you ate what's for the Jewish people forbidden fats, iyat anishkaris, you won't get a punishment of being cut short your life. Now, chalal teshabbos, up until now, if you desecrated the Shabbos, iyat anishkila, you didn't get a punishment of being stoned by Beis Din. Va'achsha, but now, are you sure you want to join the Jewish people? Achal techelev anishkaris, you eat these fats, you get cut off in your life. Chalal to Shabbos under Skila. You desecrate the Shabbos, you do one minor infraction, you get stoned to death. Now, Shem Shemedin Oisei Anshin Shemitzes, just like we make it known to him, the punishment if one violates the mitzvahs, Kach Medin Oisei Matan Schar. So too we let it be known to him the reward that comes for fulfilling the mitzvahs. And only we tell him, Havideya, you should know, Shalom Abba, the world to come, Eina Asa Eilat Tzadikim, is only made for the righteous. Now, but Yisrael Bezman Hazeh, however, the Jewish people in today's times, they cannot receive, we continue on Tamid Beis, loy reiv taiva, not an abundance of good, and that's because the evil incarnation always tries to subdue the Jewish people. As the Gemara says, Masech L'Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis, Mem Beis. And therefore, maybe if there's too much goodness for the Jewish people, they'll become haughty and then they'll sin. So the Jewish people can't have too much good. And however, V'lo Yireh Peronis, but neither can they receive too much punishment, too much pain, because then the Jewish people will not survive. Now, the Braisa continues, says, V'im Marbin Olav. We don't overwhelm him with different words to scare him off, to separate from joining the Jewish people. I'm a doctor in love. We're not too precise. We don't dot our I's and cross our T's to make sure everything he has, all the bases covered, that it could be a full-fledged convert. And if after that whole process, Kibul, he accepts, so then we circumcise him right away. If nishtari by tzitzin, if there are some pieces of flesh which were not peeled away from the foreskin to make an appropriate circumcision that are hama'akvines me'ila, that withhold the validity of the circumcision, then they go back and they circumcise him a second time. Now, Nisrapa, when he's finally healed, they immerse him in the mikvah right away. And at that time, when he's immersing, there's two Talmudic scholars that are standing over him. And they let it be known to him some of the easy mitzvahs and some of the hard mitzvahs. And the reason is why now it has to be done is because now through the immersion is when they actually finalize the process that he becomes a full-fledged convert. And that's why at the time of when he's immersing in the mikvah, he has to be accepting the yoke of the mitzvahs, because that's when he's becoming a Jewish person. If he immerses, and then when he comes out of the mikvah, he's like a full-fledged Jew in all scenarios, in all situations. Now, Isha, if it's a woman that's converting, so you have women that have her go into the water up until her neck. You have two Talmudic scholars that are standing outside the room. And they make it be known to her. They say out to her that regarding the easy mitzvahs and the hard mitzvahs. Now, the Braisa says that Echad Ger, this halacha applies whether to a convert, Vechad Ev Meshuchar, and the same process applies to a slave that's being freed, which Gemara later will ask exactly regarding what halacha we're comparing a Ger to a slave that's being freed, that's becoming a full-fledged Jewish person. Now, the Braisa says another halacha, in the place where a menstruating woman goes to immerse herself, meaning in 40 sa, which is a kosher mikvah for nida, sham ger ve'evin meshurcha tayvlin, that's the same place, the same midah, the same measurement that's necessary for someone that's converting and for a slave that's being freed, that's where they immerse. And that, as Rashi explains, the chiddush, and that is even though their tefillah is not for the halachas of tum and tahara, like other tefillahs, like a nida that's doing it for tahara purposes, however, in spite of that, they have the same halacha of the type of mikveh that they have to table in. Now finally, the Braisa concludes, v'chol davar shechetzis betfilah, anything that's an interposition for regular halachas of tefillah, chetzis beger ube'ev meshuchar ube'nida, will also be considered an interposition for the immersion of a ger, an ev meshuchar, and for a nida, which Rashi qualifies over here when it says nida, here it means actually for her husband, not for the purposes of tahara. There would be two purposes in the times of when there was halachas of tum and tahara, would be one for there's a tum of nida. Then there's another halacha that then she's permitted to her husband if she did the process of shivin nikiyim and having which is the halacha of ziva, and then the halacha of nida for her husband. As Rashi explains, that the chiddush of this part of the braisa is that even though the immersion of the ger and the meshuchah and the nida for her husband is not for the purposes of taharas, like other tefillahs, however, still the halacha of chatzitza applies, and there cannot be something on their body interposing between their flesh and the mikvah waters. Now the Gemara goes to explain and elaborate and this braisa. So Amamah, the braisa said, Ger Shabbola is Gair. If someone's coming to convert, so then Omele, they tell him, Marisa Shabbosa is Gair, what do you see fit to become convert to the Jewish people? And Umaydim, I say, and they let it be known to him, Mitzis Mitzis Kalas, Mitzis Mitzis Chamur, some of the easy mitzis, some of the hard mitzis. So then, my time, why are we doing this? Why are we asking him and saying, what are you coming for? And there's this mitzvah, there's that mitzvah. So the Gemara says the reason is because the e-parish, because if he's going to get scared away, he's not going to convert because of what we're telling him. So nifresh, let him separate himself and let him not become Jewish, and it doesn't bother us. Because actually, the Amr Reb Chelba says, Kashim gerim liyisrael kesapachas. Converts are harsh to the Jewish people like a nega affliction of sapachas. The Silik, it says, the Pesach in Yeshaya, it says, v'nilva hager alehem, that the convert will escort upon them, and they will cleave onto the household of Jacob, meaning of the Jewish people. where it uses the terminology of nisvachu, which is the same term as sapachas, which is a term of a nega, is affliction. Now, the reason why ger is considered affliction, where we don't mind scaring him off because we don't want gerim, Rashi says the reason is because many times they continued doing the things they were doing before they became Jewish. And Jewish people will learn from them because now they're part of the Jewish people. Or actually, even Jewish people will come to rely on them regarding halachas of Esav HaHeta. Taisa says the reason is because there's many warnings in the Torah about how we treat gerim. And it's very hard, very difficult for people. People are not so careful with how they treat people, and therefore we get punished a lot from the pain that we cause to the converts, so that we'd rather not have them. Says Yeshanim says, even more in that way, that he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually punishes the Jewish people because of the gerim, because when the gerim, who they're very zealous in their avodas Hashem, they do mitzvahs very fine. So Hashem says that we don't do the mitzvahs as well as the gerim, even though we're coming from such great stock of Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, our avos. And look at these people; they come from non-Jewish parents, and look how great they are in doing keeping the Jewish faith. And therefore, it's a harsh thing for us how we get judged in the contrast. So therefore, we don't mind scaring off the gerim, and therefore we don't totally scare them off. But we tell them about the harsh realities about becoming a Jewish person, about all the pogroms and the persecutions, what the Jewish people have to go through in today's times. Now the Brisa said also, Medim Oisai, we let it be known to him, the oven, the sin of Leket, Shechel, Peo, Meisur, Ani, regarding the gifts that go to the poor. So come on, my time, why do we tell him specifically those things? So I'm Rechibar Abba Arman B'Yechanan, and there's two interpretations in Rashi. But Rashi's second interpretation says that since non-Jews are very particular about their money, how do we see that? Because as the Halacha tells us, as Rabbi Yechanan says, Ben Noyech Nerag, a non-Jew will get killed, Al pachis mishava pruta, for stealing less than a value of a pruta, which is the lowest denomination of a coin. And the reason is because non-Jews are very particular, even though granting a small amount, where for a Jewish person, he would be Michael, he would forgive that. And moreover, as we find, v'leinit lehi shavin, that is, you can't even return, if let's say someone steals less than the shava pruta if he's a non-Jew, there's no mitzvah of v'heishav es exil esher gazel, because that was only said regarding a Jewish person, that he has that mitzvah to rectify the theft by returning it. So actually, you can't return, and actually, you have to get killed. And that's because, as the Gemara tells in Masechta Sanhedrin, as harasin zuv misasin, the prohibition that a non-Jew has, that is automatically causes his death. And therefore, once you violate one of the seven mitzvahs that B'nai Noyach are obligated in, which includes Gazel, you get killed right away. And that's why we tell him that thing, because maybe that will scare him off and not become a Jew, because he knows how particular he is about money. And that's why we let it be known to him, this halacha, because maybe that will stop him from becoming a ger, because he sees that this status that he had before, about every single last, even less than the Shavu Pruta, is always rightfully his, and there's actually persecution for someone that does. And by Jewish people, it's not so simple. Someone could steal $1,000 from you and still not get killed, because he could return it with Beheshav HaZalem. So therefore, that would be another element that would scare him off, and therefore, we tell him this specific halacha too, which applies specifically to a non-Jew who's becoming a Jew. Now, however, the Brisa said, but ve'im marmalov, but we don't overdo it, and ve'im adaktim kamalov, and we don't get so precise in finalizing all the nitty gritty details about him being a valid Jew. So Amar Blazer says, my Kara, what's the pasuk that shows us that as long as we see that he's sincere and we tell him different things that might scare him off, so then we accept him as a ger. We don't have to go through every last one of the Targum Mitzvahs and say, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? So sort of like it says a pasuk in Megillas Rus. It says Vatera that Nami saw that Rus was pushy. She was pushing her to come with her to come back to the Jewish people. So she stopped talking to her. Said, "You want to come? So come." So how do you see this? So the pesukim before this pasuk says, and as the Gemara will say it in story fashion, that Amrla Nami said to Rus, "What do you want to come a Jew for? Asulan tchum Shabbos. You know what happens every seventh day." On Shabbos, we're not allowed to go past the boundary, more than 2,000 amas past where you live. So what did Rus answer? Basha telchielich, where you go, I will go. I don't mind. So she said, but aslan yichud, you know, we're not allowed to be secluded with another man. So she said, Basha telchielich, where you sleep, I'll sleep fine. If that means I can't sleep in a house where there's a man sleeping, fine, I won't sleep there. So she said, "Mifakdina and sheish meis v'yud gimel mitzvahs. We have 630 mitzvahs. Now, as non-Jews, you only need 7. We have 613." So she said, "Fine, amichami, your people, my people. If that's what it is, I'll do that too." She said, "Asul na vodis kachavim. You know that we practice that there's only one Hashem, and you can't serve any of the all the myriads of idols out there. She said, "V'lekech alekai, your God is my God. It's okay." She says, "Arba mises nimtzer lebezdin." There were four types of death that are given over to Bezdin. You know, if you do an infraction, they could stone you. They can burn you. She said, "Fine, basher tamusi amis. Where you die, I'll die. It's okay." She said, "Moreover, you should know how severe it is. Beis kvar nimtzer lebezdin. There's actually even two different cemeteries that Bezdin have to show the severity. One is for the really bad, for those that get stoned and get burned, where they did very stringent averis, so they got the more severe types of death, they get one type of cemetery. Then there's a different cemetery, which are for those that are killed by the sword or that are choked, where their sin is not so bad, not such sinners, they get buried in a different cemetery." She said, "Fine, b'shama kavar, and they all be buried. Doesn't make a difference. Wherever you get buried, I'll get buried." So miyad, right away, that she saw that she's sincere, but terikis and memetzes hebu gaimer, that she saw that she's pushing and she really wants to join, so she didn't overdo it and be precise to ask her everyone in Targ Mitzvahs, and then she said, "Fine," so you could come along, and she stopped telling her. Now the Braisa said, kibul, if the person after all this process accepts, malnoi sumiyad, so then we circumcise him right away. So you can ask my time, why right away? So the answer is, because she yue mitzvah le mishinan, we don't delay a mitzvah, the person wants to be a Jew, and convert and do all the Targ Mitzvahs. So right away, we circumcise them and we do the mitzvah actually of the milah of the ger. Now, the Braisa said, Nishtayr by tzitzin hama'akvin hama'ilah v'chulu. However, if after that circumcision we see that in the process some strips of the foreskin are left on the makam milah, so then you have to go back and circumcise them again because that's ma'akvis hama'ilah. So the Gemara said, Kenan, like we learned in Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, that qualifies, what would this be? The Mishnah says, "Elu hein tzitzin ha-ma'akev na-me'ilah." These are the strips of the foreskin that would withhold the validity of the circumcision. It's basar ha-chayfa esrev ha-tar. It's the flesh that covers the majority of the corona, which is the crown of the male member, which is the top part that surrounds it, where from there it first starts going upward and then it slants downward. That part, the majority, the flesh that covers the majority of that part will withhold the validity of the me'ilah. And therefore, if a kohen was the one that was getting the circumcision, let's say a Jewish child, a kohen arel, who would be considered uncircumcised, if you have these small piece of flesh on that's on the majority of the atar, wouldn't be able to eat truma, as the Gemara tells us later on, that a kohen arel can't eat truma. Now, v'amr b'yimra abba amr rav, he qualified that it means basar ha-chayfa reiv goyvish al-tar. It means the flesh that covers the majority of the height of the corona. Meaning that we're talking about that it doesn't have to be the flesh that's the majority of the circumference, but rather that of the height. If it's covering the majority of the height going up, then that's already considered strips of flesh of the foreskin that would be considering invalidating the mila, and therefore then you would have to do it over a second time. Now the Braisa said, Nisrape, if after, fine, we did it the right way, and he's fully circumcised, and then he's healed, then right away when he get healed, then we immerse him in the mikvah to make him a full-fledged Jew. So the Gemara makes the inference, nisrapayin, only after he gets healed. Loi nisrapayin, but if he's not healed yet from the surgery of the circumcision, then not. My time of why not? Why don't you immerse himself? So the answer is, mishum demayu morzumaka, because water actually weighs down the illness of the wound that there is by the circumcision, and therefore it's going to make him more ill, so you have to wait first that it heals, and then you immerse him in the mikvah. Now it says that when he's immersing in the mikvah, v'shnei tamid ha-chacham ibn al-gabav, that we have two Talmudic scholars standing over him. Now that the Gemara has, Omer b'chiyav Omer b'yechanan ger tzarech shloisha, he said that for the ger, for the conversion process, where he's, now there's the moment when he's becoming a full-fledged Jew, he didn't have three people. So the Gemara answers, you're right, ha-omer b'yechanan tana, Rabbi Yechanan actually told the one who was teaching the braises, t'nei shloisha, should actually amend it to say that not that there's two Talmudic scholars, but actually three. Now, the Braisa said, Tavu v'Allah, if he immersed and he comes out, Harei ki Yisrael l'chal devar, he's considered a full-fledged Jew for every aspect. So the Gemara says, L'mai hilchasa, what is it, why is it l'chal devar, what's that coming to include? So it's coming to say that even if the ihadr bay, if let's say, after that he already converted, he goes back to his old ways, he says, forget about this Jewish religion, it's not what it's all cut out to be, and he goes back to doing what he used to do. And then afterwards, Umekadesh Bas Yisrael, he gets married, he does Kiddushin to a Jewish woman, he actually needs to give her a get, like a full-fledged Jew, because Yisrael Mumer Karina Bey. We actually consider him a full-fledged Jew, but a Jew that went off from the Jewish path. But and therefore the kedusha of kedushin, his kedushin is a kedushin. We don't say that it didn't work out, this conversion. He's just like a regular non-Jew. No, he's Jewish and he's l'chol dvarav. Even if he goes and he acts like he always did, he's considered a Jew after he goes through the conversion process. And therefore, if he's mekadesh a Jewish woman, he would actually have to divorce her with a get, and we wouldn't say that she's not married to him. Now the Braisa said that echad ger ve'echad ev meshurcher. The same process applies to a ger who's converting and to a slave who's also becoming a full-fledged Jew now that he's being freed from being a slave to a Jewish person. Now, the Gemara says that kasaka daitik, the assumption was that the comparison of the freeing of the slave to the conversion of the non-Jew was lekabel alav ol mitzvos, was regarding the acceptance of the yoke of the commandments of the Torah, meaning that at the time when you immerse the Eved for his shichur to becoming free, to becoming a full-fledged ben chayrin of a Jewish person, then you have to notify him some of the mitzvahs of the Torah, just like we do it, as we said, regarding the ger. Now, based on that assumption, the Gemara said, Reminu, but there seems to be a contradiction from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, when did we say this halacha of accepting the mitzvahs that's beger by a convert, of be Eved Meshurcher, but by an Eved, a slave that's being freed, ein tzarch lekabel, he does not have to accept the mitzvahs at the time when he's being freed. And that is because, as Rashi explains, because already from the time that he immersed himself in the mikvah when he became a slave, a regular non-Jew that becomes a slave for a Jewish person, he already enters the realm of mitzvahs. As the Pasuk says in Varm Hei, that a Jewish person has an obligation, l'man yinuach avducha v'amasecha, that your slaves and maidservants cannot do malacha. So you see that they are also included in the mitzvahs. And moreover, as Rashi says from the Gemara Chagigah of Dalet, we learn that law from Isha, that the Eved has the same halacha of mitzvahs as a woman. So he already had an acceptance of mitzvahs when he immersed the first time as becoming an Eved. And therefore, as the Braisa here says, when he's becoming immersing a second time to becoming a full-fledged Jew, he doesn't have to accept already mitzvahs. He already has a lot of mitzvahs. So how can we say in this Braisa that the Eved Meshurcher is the same as the Ger in accepting the mitzvahs? So that, the first Teretz the Gemara brings, Amrav Sheshes, he says, Lekasha, it's not a difficulty. Because Ha, this Braisa says that you don't have to accept mitzvahs by the Eved Meshurcher, is Reb Shimon ben Elazar. But Ha, the Braisa that we quote over here, is like the Rabbanan, because it's a Macholikas Tanoim. The Tanoim, like Lina Braisa. Braisa says regarding the Ishi Yafaz Tayar, which is the woman that was taken captive in the war. So she's a non-Jewish woman. The Torah permits one to consummate the relationship with her. But it says a whole process that you have to do. It says, Savia Ima, she has to cry after her father and her mother for a month, and it goes through the whole process. Now, on that, the Braisa qualifies. But when did we say that she has to go through that whole process to allow him to have a relationship with her? That's only Shloi Kibla Aleha, if she's not accepting upon herself to convert to the Jewish faith. Ava Kibla Aleha, but if she accepts upon herself, she wants to be Jewish, then you immerse her in the mikvah and you're permitted with her right away because she's a regular Jewish woman. You don't have to cry and do all these things. Shimon Lazar, he says a different option. He says that even if she doesn't accept upon herself to become a Jewish person, there's another way that you can do it right away and to preempt that whole way of crying and becoming disgusting. What you could do is you could force her and immerse her in the mikvah to become a maidservant. And that's because, as Rashi says, all tevila of avadim are against their will. You're a slave. You have to listen. So we immerse you in the mikvah, and you have halachas like a Jewish woman. Then, v'chizru matbil l'shem shichur. Now what you do is you go to phase two. Now you're going to immerse her in the mikvah for the intention, against her will, of freeing her, of making you free. U'meshachar. And then, meaning once he's doing l'shem shichur, he does the immersion, and then he frees her. And therefore, as the Gemara continues, the top of Mechasim and Aleph, u'muta b'mayad. Then he's permitted in her right away. So what you see from Reb Shimon's opinion is that an Eved, or in this case, a Shifcha, does not have to accept a second time the mitzvahs when they're having the immersion, at the second immersion when they're becoming free. Whereas according to Rabbanan, they obviously don't say that option. They say the only way to have her right away is for her to accept to become a Jewish woman, to become a Geiris. Then obviously they hold that there's no such an option because they obviously hold that you do have to accept the mitzvahs even by the second tefillah, and that you can't force. So therefore that wouldn't be an option to do right away because she obviously does not want to become a Geiris, as they said, if she wants to, they can go ahead right away and do that. But Shimon said there's a way around it. Force her in becoming a Shifcha, then you just force her to do a tefillah, and then once you free her, she automatically, because she doesn't have to accept mitzvahs, becomes a regular woman, and then you could have a relationship with her, and therefore it's not a contradiction. Because Abraitz was going like the Rabbanan that says you cannot force it, and therefore the Eved Meshurcher is like the Ger in regards to accepting the mitzvahs by the second tefillah of the Shechur, Whereas Reb Shimon is like that other brayse that says that no, actually, one does not have to accept upon himself mitzvahs at the time of shichur, and that's why he says that by the woman, the beautiful captive that's taken from the war, there's a way to have a relationship with her right away, not like as I said in the Torah, by forcing the avdus, which that's a forced acceptance of the mitzvahs. And then the second time, when you cannot force mitzvahs, because then becoming a full-fledged Jew, you don't have to because there's no kabbalah mitzvahs by the second tefillah of shichur.